بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 17th of August in the year 2019 الحمد لله we're beginning the third week the 15th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the eminent companion Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu. And I'm on the section where I'm taking a brief into where his blessed name is mentioned during the Holy Prophet's sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's migration to Al-Madinah. So the next section is entitled The Famous Pledge Underneath the Blessed Tree. It was now the sixth year after the Hijrah. And our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had seen in a dream that he was performing the Umrah with his noble companions radiyallahu ta'ala. When the companions were informed, they were overjoyed and immediate preparations were made. So like I mentioned many times, when the holy prophets have dreams alayhi salatu wa salam, it's revelation. So it's just as good as Jibreel descending alayhi salatu wa salam. So in the dream, he's doing the Umrah, meaning that they will now be doing the Umrah. What made the companions even more happy is that they were returning now back to their birthplace, Ay Makkah, Ay the Muhajirun. So preparations were made for the Umrah. However, just because our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not intending battle, this in no way meant that he was carefree. I, as some have suggested, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid, careless. On the contrary, he took all necessary precautions to ensure the safety of his companions. Radiallahu ta'ala. So this is important. So you get some people who are not well versed in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they give you the impression that he's come out of Medina with just his ihram on, full tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, heading towards Makkah. And then when you pose the question, but isn't that dangerous? Because the enemy base is Makkah. Oh no, he had full tawakkul. So the response to that is, you're talking rubbish. Right? That's a simple answer. The Prophet made precautions, took precautions. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Firstly, the first precaution. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Sayyidina Bishr ibn Sufyan al-Khuzai radiyallahu to spy on the other tribes, to make sure that no one was preparing an ambush on the Muslims. I refer to Sheikh Al-Hakami rahmatullah alayh in his Al-Marwiyat Ghazwatul Hudaybiyah, page 58-9. So what was the first preparation the Prophet made sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? As he's heading towards Makkah, there's tribes. Some of those tribes are aligned with the unbelievers. So he made sure by sending a Sahaba to find out whether any of these tribes on the way to Makkah are possibly going to ambush the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second precaution, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent 20 companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ahead of the pilgrims to make sure the road to Makkah was safe. So the advance guard, for want of a better word. Who were the 20? Hafiz Waqidi rahmatullah alayh in his Al-Maghazi 2-974, it mentions, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam summoned Sayyidina Abbad ibn Bishr radiyallahu and placed him in front of a group of 20 horsemen, amongst whom were men from both the Muhajirun and the Ansar radiyallahu ta'ala. So basically they were the senior sahaba. They were sent as an advance guard in case there was something going to happen, and they could deal with the matter to give time for the Prophet to get ready for battle, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abbad ibn Bishr was placed in front of one of the great Ansar companions, radiyallahu. The third precaution, Zulhulayfa is just outside of Al-Madinah. And whilst the companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, were thus preparing to enter into the state of Ihram, Sayyidina Umar, radiyallahu, gave another important recommendation to the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, without carrying any weapons or armor, you are entering upon a people who are your declared enemies, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately acted upon Umar's advice, radiyallahu, ordering for a certain people in Al-Madinah to undertake the task of loading weapons onto camels and transporting them alongside the pilgrims in case of emergency. Refer to Tabari in his Tarikh 2-622. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, we haven't got any weapons, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he got a contingent who were loading weapons onto camels, and they were side by side with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So though they were in pilgrim garb, they could resort to battle because of the weapons being ready at, near at hand. Although harming pilgrims would have tarnished the reputation of the unbelieving Quraysh, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu knew that they hated the Muslims so much that they might very well be willing to take the risk of attacking them, regardless of the consequences. Hence the wisdom behind Umar's advice. So obviously the unbelieving Quraysh, they wouldn't touch any of the unbelievers coming to do Umrah. Oh, because that was the reason they were given honor, looking after the house. But Umar didn't trust them. He goes, they might, I fear that they'll still attack you even if you got the haram on Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, Umar radiallahu anhu's foresight proved true. However, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam managed to evade Khalid ibn Walid's small force that was sent by the Quraysh to intercept the Muslims. And thereupon he faithfully encamped in Al-Hudaybiyah. So Umar was absolutely spot on. The unbelievers thought, we're not letting him come. So who did they send? They sent Khalid ibn Walid to attack the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Ihram. The Holy Prophet bypassed him and he encamped at Hudaybiyah. So he bypassed him, but obviously because of precautions, revelation. At Hudaybiyah, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon sent his first ambassador, Sayyidina Kharrash ibn Umayyah al-Khuzai radiyallahu, to inform the Quraysh of his peaceful intentions. However, when he entered Makkah, the Quraysh did not even give him the opportunity to speak. They killed his camel and they showed intention of killing Sayyidina Kharrash himself radiyallahu, but they were prevented from doing so by men from the Ahabish. Sayyidina Kharrash radiyallahu anhu quickly returned and then informed the Holy Prophet of what had occurred sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now the Prophet is at Al-Hudaybiyah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wants to make sure that the unbelievers don't try something else. He sends us a messenger called Kharrash. And think about that, person with a white flag. So even in today's day and age, people don't do anything to messengers. What did they do? Kill this camel. Didn't even let him speak. They want to kill him. But somebody prevented this. So Kharrash came back, because Ya Rasulullah, they won war. They're not going to let you enter Makkah peacefully. Despite what had happened, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam desperately wanted to avoid an encounter. Thus, he now suggested that Sayyidina Umar should go as the second messenger, radiyallahu. He thought, send somebody who's strong, maybe he'll get the message across. We haven't come for battle. So Umar, who better? So what happened? In Bayhaqi, in his Sunan, volume 5, page 286, Ibn Asakir, Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf, Qanzul Umal, volume 5, page 288, Musa Ibn Uqba, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 283 of the New English Translation, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am the most detested person in their sight. And if they cause me any harm, none from my tribe, the Bani Qa'ab, will stand up for me. I therefore suggest you send Uthman radiallahu anhu, for he has family in Makkah and he will be able to safely convey exactly what you want without fear or harm. So let's look at this. So after taking all these precautions, the Prophet now knows that they're not letting him enter. But he still wants to enter with peace, so he sends messengers. The first one came back tattered, almost dead. The Prophet still didn't give up hope. He wants to send Umar radiallahu anhu. So Umar, this is the brilliance of Umar. You can see how brilliant he was in the advice he was given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He then said, they won't, because they hate me more than anybody. My tribe's not going to come to my defense. I therefore humbly suggest that Uthman should be sent because he's from Banu Umayyah and they haven't got a problem with Uthman radiallahu anhu. In another report, Hafiz Waqidi in his Al-Maghazi 2-600, Umar radiallahu anhu added, but if you wish, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will enter upon them. In other words, if you want me to go, I will go. I've offered a suggestion. So Lord Umar wasn't, you know, telling the Prophet what he needed to do. He's just offering his suggestions. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agreed with Umar's proposal, radiallahu anhu, and thus Uthman radiallahu anhu was sent. He told Uthman, we want peace, we don't want to fight, we just want to do the Umrah, and we'll leave in peace. So Uthman set off on the camel, radiallahu anhu. After passing the peaceful message, the unbelieving Quraysh, they said to Uthman, we have no objections to you performing the Umrah, because you're an honorable man. Because if you want, go ahead, go and perform the Umrah. So what happened? In Tirmidhi, Ahmad in his Musnad, Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat, Kanzul Umar, Uthman replied with his memorable words, showing his deep love for his father-in-law, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is simply unthinkable that I take preference over Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he cannot visit the house of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, then neither will I. So let's look at this. They gave him a green light. Because you passed the message on, we got the message. If you want, go and do Umrah. Would he have done anything wrong if he had done Umrah? But he couldn't. But now he's provoked them. Imagine, you don't provoke them, you're in the lion's mouth. He says, not gonna happen. He goes, how can I do something? And Rasulullah has prevented. He goes, if he can't visit the Kaaba, neither am I going to visit. The Quraysh flared up in anger. They thus foolishly detained Uthman from returning to Rasulullah. They arrested him. And can you imagine the words they said? We are telling you to do Umrah. You've got this audacity to say, you know, this and that. You're not going anywhere. And they arrested him. As this was happening in Makkah, what was happening back in Al-Hudaybiyah? In Kanzul Umal, volume 1, page 84, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 375 of the Old English Translation, the companions then said to each other in Al-Hudaybiyah, Abu Abdullah, radiallahu anhu, is now fortunate enough to be performing tawaf around the Kaaba whilst we're stuck here. The Holy Prophet overheard this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, rather, if he were to stay in Makkah even for so many years, he would still not perform the tawaf in my absence. So look how interesting. He didn't do it. There's no chance. Not going to happen. They're thinking exactly that. They go, he's probably banging out a few tawafs like we say in it, mashallah. Probably got a few umriyah, alhamdulillah. So the Prophet ﷺ said, even if he was there for years, because he wouldn't do it. I know him. But now, let's give you the full details. That's just the skim. In Bayhaqi, in his Sunan al-Kubra, 9-218-221, Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf, Ibn Asakir in his Tariq Dimishq, 39-76-8, Kanzul Umal, number 30,152, Awn al-Ma'abud, 7-289. Urwa ibn Zubair, rahmatullah alayhi, relates, when the Holy Prophet alighted, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at Al-Hudaybiyah, he sent Uthman to the Quraysh, and he said to him, inform them, we have not come to clash, but only to perform the Umrah and invite them to Islam. So note other reports add details. It's not just Umrah, because we're also going to give a bit of dawah as well, inviting them if they want to embrace Islam. He also ordered him to visit all the male and female believers in Makkah and give them the glad tidings of a near victory, and to inform them of the near appearance of his religion in Makkah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, so that Iman should no longer be belittle them. The top in the report. Look at all these amazing statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He already knows the end game. So now, who are these believers in Makkah? Again, you know, people don't study the Prophet's life. Oh, only kafirs were there. Keep eating your chips, brother, right? They were believers in Makkah. Why didn't they migrate to Medina? They couldn't. They were either old or they were prevented. So Uthman's other duty, after he's told them we were only coming peacefully, is to talk to those believers. Tell them what? Look how amazing the statements. He goes, the victory is near. What victory? We're looking back, so we understand. The victory is near. Number two, in Makkah, Iman is going to be established. It's going to be a stronghold. Then the Prophet sent him. So Uthman actually knew before the treaty has been signed, victory is ours. The other Sahaba didn't know this. So Uthman was thus sent to the Quraysh. And upon arrival, he informed them of this, but they refused. And they declared that they would fight. Uthman was also detained. So what happened? He goes, we've just come for Umrah. He goes, sorry, it's not going to happen. But you can do it. He goes, sorry, it's not going to happen. And then they detained him. He goes, we're going to fight. Upon hearing of the sad turn of events, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was lost in his thoughts. He thereupon summoned the people to pledge their loyalty, upon which somebody called out, O Muslims, verily the Holy Spirit has descended upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the news has come back. What news? Uthman's been detained. But from other reports, news, false news had come, they'd killed him. So the Prophet ﷺ is now lost in his thoughts. And he realizes it's going to be a fight. There's going to be a battle. Question, I thought you just went with the Hilal. How is he going to fight? So note, preparations have been made. So then, one of the Sahaba called out, Jibreel's descended. All of you come to the Prophet ﷺ. The believers radiallahu ta'ala anhum thereupon pledged to him that they would never desert him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah the Almighty thereupon frightened the polytheists with this event. So they quickly released all the believers they had previously held, and they thereupon asked for a truce and a treaty. So imagine what's happened. News reaches Makkah. He goes, oh my God, Muhammad's taken the pledge for death. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do they know who Muhammad is? Of course they do. This is his nephew. This is their nephew. They go, what? Right? He goes, why? Because they think you've killed Uthman. So straight away, Padpusi comes out. Imagine, right? They go, oh, no. They quickly, do something. Because we will sign something. The believers thereupon said to each other, whilst at Al-Hudaybiyah, and before Uthman had returned, that he had reached the Kaaba, he performed tawaf, to which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I do not think he would perform tawaf around it whilst we are under siege. Thus, when Uthman returned, radiallahu anhu, they said to him, you performed tawaf, O Uthman, there's no doubt about it. He got angry. He said, perish your thought by the one in whose hand is my soul. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if I had taken residence there for one full year, whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still here at Al-Hudaybiyah, I would still have never performed tawaf around it until he did. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, the Quraysh invited me to perform tawaf and I rejected it. The believers thereupon said with a smile, Rasulullah is truly the most knowing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amongst us, and the one with the best opinion. In other words, we want to prove the statement of the Prophet, because he told us. So imagine, because you've done tawaf. He goes, you think I'm going to do tawaf and Rasulullah staying here? Not going to happen, even for a full year. And then they says, the Prophet knows more than us. He's the best guided. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, such was the love Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu had for our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this narration adds more details. But you still haven't got all the details. There's other details, other reports. When Uthman was detained, radiyallahu, a rumor spread he had been treacherously killed by the unbelieving Quraysh.
Mm-hmm.
These rumors reached our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was lost in his thoughts. Suddenly he headed towards a fateful samura tree. Samura tree was this. This is a wild tree found in the desert. You know, one of those like one tree that you get in the middle of nowhere. The blessed companions assembled, radiyallahu ta'ala. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon gave orders for all to give him the famous pledge underneath the tree to avenge Uthman's death. Radiyallahu. So what happened? In Abu Dawud, number 2276, Tirmidhi, number 3722, Hassan Sahih Gharib, Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf, Mishkat, number 6074, or volume 4, number 56, in the chapter on Sayyidina Uthman, radiyallahu. Sayyidina Anas describes that memorable scene. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed order for the oath of allegiance at Ridwan, Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu was the envoy of Rasulullah in Makkah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus the people gave the pledge under the tree. The messenger of Allah thereupon said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Inna Uthmana fi hajatillahi wa hajati rasulihi." Verily Uthman radiyallahu is on urgent work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an urgent work for his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He then struck one of his hands on the other hand sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for Uthman was greater than their hands for themselves. Another detail. So where is this recorded? Abu Dawud al-Madi, Sahih Hadith. So the Prophet ﷺ said, pledge. And they're pledging, right, to death. But who's not pledged? Who can't pledge? Uthman. So think about that. The Prophet ﷺ said, he's on urgent work for Allah Ta'ala and his messenger. The Prophet got his own hand. So his left hand, he put on to his right hand. So he goes, this is the hand of Uthman. And then Anas radiyallahu anhu said, that one hand was better than all the hands that had pledged. Now what do you think of Uthman radiyallahu anhu? In a similar report in Sahih Bukhari, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his left hand over his right hand and said, this pledge is on behalf of Uthman radiyallahu anhu, meaning he is the cause of this and he's got my hand as his pledge. Uthman later said about this, radiyallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's left hand was far superior than my right hand, i.e. with which I would have pledged. This is recorded by Hafiz Zulqani rahmatullah alayhi in Sharh al-Mawahib, volume 2, page 206-8, Shaykh al-Ahadith, Mawlana Muhammad Idris Kandahlawi rahmatullah alayhi, in Seerat al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, volume 2, page 386 of the English translation. Why? Because the left hand is used to get rid of impurities. So you could think, well, the Holy Prophet's left hand, you can't think that because he's Pak. So Uthman radiyallahu anhu said, he goes, the left hand, that's far greater than my right hand. In other words, he goes, this is something incredible that Allah has bestowed upon me. And he was proud of that. Similarly, Abdullah ibn Umar said, radiyallahu anhu, in Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, volume 2, page 166, his hand, radiyallahu anhu, was replaced by such a hand that no hand parallel to it exists in the entire world. He goes, that hand doesn't exist anywhere else. And he goes, the Holy Prophet's hand was used, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, what's interesting about this? Was this the first time the Prophet had done this? No. When else did he do this for Uthman? Can you remember? Note that this was the second time that this had happened. Just 5 years earlier. Abdullah ibn Umar, he relates, radiyallahu anhu, in Abu Dawud number 2726 in the chapter on Jihad, Mishkat number 4031 or volume 2 number 183 in the chapter on spoils. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu said, Rasulullah stood up, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day of Badr. And he said, "Inna Uthman antalaqa fi hajatillahi wa hajati rasulihi wa inni ubayyu lahu." Verily, Uthman is attending to an urgent need on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus I shall now take the oath of allegiance for him. Then the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also allotted a share of spoils for him. And he never allotted a share for anyone else who was not present at Badr. Second time. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he's on urgent need. Now think about that. How many times was he on urgent need for Allah Ta'ala and his messenger? This shows his status. So he said it first at Badr. Then he said it again at the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, i.e. the pledge. And he goes, "I will take the oath of allegiance for him." Again, that oath was greater than anybody else's. Subhanallah, further unique and most priceless honors for a truly most deserving man, radiyallahu. So how many sahaba pledged allegiance? In Sahih Muslim, number 1856, Abu Zubair rahmatullah alayhi relates, Sayyidina Jabir was asked, radiyallahu, "How many people were there on the day of Hudaybiyah?" He replied, "We were 1,400. We pledged allegiance to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Umar, radiyallahu, was holding his hand whilst he was sitting under the tree to administer the oath. The tree was Samura, i.e. a wild tree found in the desert." So this gives you a beautiful image. The Holy Prophet is under the tree, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar is holding the Prophet's hand in affection, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they are giving pledge to the Prophet. Now, why was Umar holding his hand? Because he was the one who said, "Send Uthman." So he was grieving. Umar was thinking, "Because of me, Uthman's been killed. I was thinking that they're going to spare him." So look how touching it was that he was holding the Prophet's hands as if he was saying, "Forgive me, Ya Rasulullah. I didn't know that this was going to happen." But of course, he wasn't. The noble companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, 1,400 saw in number, many miles from Al-Madinah in their pilgrim garb, not even fully prepared for the full-scale battle, with no prospects of reinforcements from Al-Madinah, pledged their allegiance at the august hands of our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now this is another amazing statement the Prophet made, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Sahih Bukhari, the Holy Prophet uttered the famous immortal words, "I shall now fight to the death for the sake of Uthman." Subhanallah. "I shall now fight to the death for the sake of Uthman." Did he ever say that for anybody else? Never. Right? So these statements are mind-blowing. Somebody said, "What did the Prophet say? I'm going to fight to the death. I don't care what the scenario is." Where is this recorded? Bukhari Sharif. However, as mentioned, fortunately for the unbelieving Quraysh, the rumor proved to be false. The unbelieving Quraysh, seeing the alarming turn of events, thereupon quickly released Uthman, radiyallahu, who thereupon returned back safely to their believing camp. So apparently, nothing happened. You're thinking, okay, mashallah, the pledge was taken, everything, but really, nothing really happened. So was this really a big deal? And the answer is yes. We'll discuss that tomorrow. So all I mentioned today was basically now the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, radiyallahu, i.e. where the Prophet took the pledge from the great companion sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, i.e. the sixth year after the Hijrah. And notice Sayyidina Uthman was the cause of that. If somebody says to you that the pledge under the tree, is that an honorable thing? So what would you say? Yes. Why is it? Because the Sahaba showed their love and you come out with all the correct statements. MashaAllah, brother. Then what about the one who caused the pledge? What's his status? I never thought of that. Right? Well, there you wake up and smell the roses. Right? The one who caused the pledge was Uthman. If they were given all this honor because of the pledge, who caused the pledge? So no, this is something Allah Ta'ala designated for Sayyidina Uthman, radiyallahu. And of course, he most assuredly deserved it. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanaka allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asr innal insana lafi khusr alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa wasbil haqq wa wasbil sabr subhanallah.